Welcome to another Gaming Gang Extra sponsored by Victory Point Games. This time around, we'll be talking to Tom Donnellan and Amber Dickens from Heartland Consumer Products about their new card game on dice, Square Shooters. Tom and Amber will talk about how the game came about, the game's inventor, and how it was innovative enough to be patented. Let's take a listen. We're sitting here with Tom Donnellan and Amber Dickens from Heartland Consumer Products. We're going to talk about their game Square Shooters. So, can you tell me a little about Square Shooters and how it came about?
Is anybody getting shot in this game? I haven't.
No, it's very safe.
How it works.
It's very safe. We soft launched in November of 2010. So we could get out for the holiday and prove sell-through and get some consumer feedback before going to Toy Fair. So we knew we could make any edits to the game or the packaging and sort of have some proof of concept and some success so that when we started talking to retailers, you know, we had a track record, not a prototype. So we've actually been on the market for a bit. In those, you know, the last 7 months, we've won a couple awards already, the Dr. Toy Best Picks Award for 2010, and the National Parenting Center, who, when they gave us our award, they also wrote a review calling Square Shooters one of the most amazing inventions you'll ever see and mind-blowing. And you know,
it's right there with the iPad.
Right up there. You know, it's something everyone needs is an analog, you know, a little piece of a good, you know, good old-fashioned kitchen table
sure.
You know, gaming excitement. And we're happy to have the game in our company, and we can brag about it because we didn't invent it, so we can, you know, do it without sounding like we think we know a lot. You know, the inventor, Carmelin Calvert, came up with this idea maybe 10 years ago and actually got it on the market only about 3 years ago or so. She was able to get into production, find a partner, and really essentially do some focus grouping by, you know, selling the game at festivals and fairs and local gas stations and drugstores.
Okay.
She found a lot of very, very positive feedback about what she had and really reached out to Heartland, whose core business is playing cards, poker chips, dice games, you know, so we're very familiar with the part of the game business. Playing cards are probably the best-selling game of all time.
We don't think
of it that way, right? But they've been around since 1376, and our company's been making them since about 2002. So we know the card business. One of our owners is a former executive at U.S. Playing Card Bicycle. We wanted to move from playing cards into games, and so we were looking at all sorts of great stuff. You know, there's a lot, as you guys probably know, there's a lot of really neat properties out there, a lot of inventors with great ideas. It's always tough to find the right avenue to get to market, and we knew we could have picked a lot of games. We had probably six or eight submissions in a very short period of time, and realized it was going to be pretty difficult to really evaluate what kind of gaming thread we wanted to bring to our company and how to market those. And then, you know, somebody writes us an email about a deck of cards on dice. And, you know, it's a funny story because I actually didn't read the email very thoroughly. And Amber, I think it was probably 10 or 15 minutes later, came to my office. I forwarded it to our teammates, and Amber immediately saw that there was something to it. And, you know, if I'm saying we had six or eight submissions, we had probably dozens, but six or eight that seemed credible.
They were solid
right. properties. But this one, in Amber's mind, was one it's an email I should have read. So I went back and looked at it more thoroughly, and within a month or so, we had a deal done with Carmelin. She came to us because she went to Heartland's website after buying some dice and liked the way our company sounded in terms of wanting to bring people together. One of our, actually the executive, the former executive from Bicycle, said one time that playing cards, you know, sometimes people gamble, sometimes there's a negative connotation, but people always use playing cards for social time. It's a product that brings people together.
Sure.
And that became something we wanted to hang our hat on. So bringing the game into the company was a great opportunity. And I say the game, but it's really about the dice.
Right.
And
right.
The reality is that the dice can be a platform for really a catalog of games long term. In fact, when you buy a game set of Square Shooters, you get a feature game, but then you get, when you turn the instruction card over, there's seven more games you can play. And that's just the beginning. And the games that you can play with square shooters include games like poker, rummy, 21. And the reason you can play those games is the layout of the dice is a very special patented layout. What we did was, instead of launching a more generic or a more well-known game like poker or rummy, we went for a different kind of gameplay, something more proprietary and distinct, and sort of said these other games, these familiar games, are things you can also do with the dice.
Right.
So the dice, to get to the dice and the main event, there are 9 dice in that comprise square shooters. Nine dice, 9 traditional six-sided dice, so that's 54 surfaces to work with.
Right.
And
at least as far as my math works.
You know, I would have been happy if I thought of that. 54 is a full deck of cards, 52 cards plus two jokers.
Two jokers, yeah.
So the inventor realized you'd have a nice set of 9 dice that have every playing card face, and I probably personally would have stopped there. But she knew immediately that to be marketable, a deck of cards on dice, you actually had to be able to play card games with,
right,
with the dice. So, and she knew, her next thought was that the key to most card games, the two most popular card games, which are poker and rummy, so whether it's adults or kids,
right,
are actually the same thing. You need to be able to achieve a 4-of-a-kind, and you need to be able to achieve essentially a straight flush. In poker, it's a straight flush. In rummy, it's a run.
Right.
And technically, in rummy, you only need 3 cards. In poker, you need 5 in a row of the same suit.
Right.
There are 40 straight flush combinations. Ace through 5, 2 through 6, 3 through 7. Right. So if you count them out for each
suit. We are gamblers, so we don't have any negative connotation with cards at all.
So there's 40 straight flush combinations. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the rank cards needing to be on separate dice. The inventor, Carmelin, she figured out in one night, after having the idea around 10 p.m., she went to bed at 6 in the morning, following day, having actually sawed pieces of a 1x in her kitchen to create the dice and translate what she was seeing in her mind to see if it could work.
Mm-hmm.
She knew that if she could lay the dice out where when you roll all 9 dice, you have a chance to always get every single straight flush. So if you start to build a hand, let's say you roll all 9 dice, you pull away the 10 jack and queen of spades, and you re-roll the rest, you're going to know that you can get the ace and the king. So she constructed a design that achieved all 40 of them, and
she did that just by playing it and doing it in her head.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It's remarkable. She's really a smart lady, and she knew that if she got 39 of them,
it wouldn't work.
It would be broken, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who would one day, you know, who would place a wager on a poker game because you can just pick the game up and start playing poker or rummy.
Sure.
If you were playing rummy with your kids, what kid would want to lose a hand because they had an ace king jack and 10 and they were looking for the queen, but it was
no
on the same die as the ace,
right.
You know, so she knew that if it were broken, it would disrupt card play and or gameplay. And was just thrilled when they all came together, and we're thrilled that she came to us. We took one of the games that she had designed. So when we signed the license agreement, Carmelin had written a number of different games, probably 8 or 10 different games, maybe more. And Amber and I played them all. We went and bought every other dice game. We had to immediately become dice play experts, and it didn't take too long to really find out what was common. And I think therefore successful about a lot of dice games. And so we knew, and as we played Carmelin's games, there was a game in particular that seemed like it had the most potential. And so we worked with the inventor together, Heartland and Carmelin Calvert, to create, to take one of her games and turn it into what is the feature game of square shooters.
And I think it's probably important to note for our listeners, because of course they can't see the dice, but it appears, if I may, the suit and the card itself, like an ace, six, whatever, it's embedded in the die. It's not just printed on the die.
Right. Yeah, they're very high quality dice. We wanted to make a signature and a statement here with these dice. And so they're nice, they're heavy, they're 22 millimeter, they're a bigger die. And they're debossed, which means they're sort of etched into the surface and then painted. So they're not printed, they're etched and painted. And so they're also, each rank an ace is the A is on the die surface with a heart shape,
right?
You know, or a four with a spade shape. And viewers can go to squareshooters.com, squareshooters.com, and see some demo videos. We've got five posted, one just sort of showing the dice and explaining how they're laid out, and then one that introduces the feature game, and then three more that show some other games that you can play.
Okay.
So visually everything, we tried to put a lot out there to teach people about the dice. We've sold over 6,500 copies already in 6 months.
Very nice.
So, yeah, well, shows like this.
I was going to say, that's a good run. That's an excellent number, seeing that you did a soft launch. And there wasn't a lot of marketing or anything like that.
We're thrilled with it. We've picked up a number of the top distributors in toy, game, and hobby. All three have different avenues to reach the retailers. We've picked up several catalog companies already. We've picked up several retailers. We shipped a promotion, a travel game promotion, to Barnes & Noble, actually, just a couple weeks ago. That just hit the stores on June 21st. So any listeners out there that want to support us can grab a copy at Barnes & Noble on their travel game desk.
What is the manufactured suggested retail price of Square Shooters?
For the basic set, the MSRP is $12.99.
Okay.
And that includes the dice, you know, the basic components, the dice, the chips, the game cards, instructions for all the games, and then a travel pouch. And then on the deluxe set, you add on the dice cup and a deck of cards, double the chips, and then the MSRP goes to $19.99.
Still very fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We all know the story about manufacturer suggested retail price. So anyway,
So
it's a running gag with us, because every company we deal with, they know that's not what they're going to sell. Everybody knows that.
So that you're in Barnes & Noble now, too.
Right.
That's not bad at all. I like it because it's so portable. But they made it bigger so you couldn't choke on it.
Well, no, I was going to say I can easily con you out of loads of cash without having to carry a deck of cards with me.
It's true. Playing cards are sort of, they're not counter-seasonal, but there are several peaks throughout the summer. It's a great travel item when people are getting together for the holiday or for the summer holidays, going to the beach. You know, cards are ubiquitous, and so playing cards peak in the holiday season just like any other game. But we think for any shop owners that are listening out there, this is the kind of game that can sort of offset your peak a little bit, sell year-round. We were thrilled when we were at first with Barnes & Noble, we were kind of pushing for holiday placement, but we were thrilled, really, that the buyer recognized the year-round appeal of an item like this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that we're definitely going to take an opportunity later on when the exhibitor hall is open to come over and demo the game.
Great.
$20 on it? What do you think? Between you and me, $20.
Forget it.
Okay, fine.
As long as we get a cut.
Of course, the house always gets
right.
a cut. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about either the game itself or Heartland?
I think that all I can say is that we are doing a heck of a lot on social media in terms of marketing. You know, as a smaller company, we're coming to shows like Origins. We're investing in, you know, being out where consumers who know games are going to be. So we're spending money in that direction. We're actually putting a tournament kit together.
Okay.
So hopefully by the time early autumn rolls around, we'll have little packages for game store game shop owners who want to, you know, who create events and want, or even charities. You know, my son plays baseball. We've gone to it and hosted an awful lot of Texas Hold'em tournaments. You know, now there's maybe a new game where you can get families involved, and I think, you know, there's some things we'll be doing there to help market the game. We're putting an ad in 500,000 decks of our playing cards this holiday season as well, so we have that benefit. You know, really, in terms of connecting with consumers, we've got a really active Facebook presence. We'll be loading up some images. We've got a new theme called That's How I Roll. You know, we're trademarking.
I noticed the shirt.
That's how I roll.
That's how I roll. Yeah. Dice.com.
That's right. It's going to be a little sort of tangent to our main, just sort of descriptive marketing message. We are right now actually running a sweepstakes promotion on Facebook. So folks can, who are online, can find us at Facebook/SquareShooters and friend us. And there's a sweepstakes running where we're giving away free games and free gas cards. It's we're calling it a summer fuel and fun giveaway.
Oh, cool.
So whether it's a staycation or vacation, we're really building a nice fan base. And what we intend to do is sort of culminate the year by asking folks to tell us how they roll. And to buy the game,
sure.
And show and load videos of their unique rolling style. And you can see from this T-shirt, we've got some goofy ways of roll. You know, everybody's got a different style. And
right.
And here at the booth, we're actually some people are letting us get video of them. We're running a little contest, letting people roll the dice and try to win a free set. And so some of them are, we're asking a few if we can get them on camera. And people, they have all sorts of crazy rolling styles. And so mm-hmm. we're going to turn that into a contest where maybe we give away some really nice prizes
cool.
by the end of the year and
cool.
And just create a real buzz and excitement by the time the holidays roll around.
I had one last question for you both, and we'd like to ask this question for basically anyone in the industry that we talk to. What are some of the games that you enjoy that you have absolutely nothing to do with as far as production or sales or design or anything like that? What kind of games do you like to play?
That's a great question. I have three kids. They're all in high school.
You don't look old enough to have three kids in high school.
I appreciate that. They're actually 19, 17, 15. They're tough to get
together.
No,
I'm just kidding.
I would believe it. I mean, yeah, because you don't look that young. No.
Anyways, so dice games, actually, we've evolved to, the answer is different because all of our gameplay centered around trying to create family time.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest boy actually has autism, so we've played a lot of different games. I would probably say the classics, starting with Monopoly and Life, but moving to Stratego and Risk and Axis and Allies a bit mm-hmm. when my youngest boy became very interested in really world history, military history,
sure,
and,
sure.
and playing those games.
Right.
But I would say now everybody's busy, everybody's distracted. People can't put down their iPhones or their, everything. There's this media saturation, and in dice games, we've started to play before Square Shooters came along. Games like Yahtzee or Farkle, and
sure.
and so, so this one in particular found that it really can bring everybody together. The great thing about dice games is when you play your turn. You don't really have to pay attention to the other four or six people that are playing, and it's kind of unfortunate to say, but it's fast to set up. When you're done with your turn, you can send that text message,
sure.
you can check that email,
right.
you can download another song.
Unless you're gaming with us, and then we won't allow that at the table.
Well, and
obviously, right?
But there's all kinds of different game styles, and
right.
different,
mm-hmm.
and this is a little more of a light, mass market oriented. You can pull it out of a purse or a briefcase, set it up, play it. You can be distracted while you're playing. And I would say that, I recognize that in Square Shooters, that it had the potential to really fit, I think, part of where the mass market is going in terms of gaming,
mm-hmm.
In terms of that distracted household and that inability to attend. That I know that this industry, there's so many great properties and games out there that are certainly on the other end of the spectrum where you can really be immersed in the play. This is, I think, something that can bring all sorts of versatility and texture to the game table. It's fast, it's light, it's different.
Sure, yeah, most definitely. Any games for yourself, Amber, that you...
For me, I'm kind of a pop culture fanatic, so I like...
Fanatic, okay.
I like the Scenic games.
Okay.
And we get together with friends and do, like, a little Battle of the Sexes with the Scenic
mm-hmm.
80s and movies
sure,
and
sure,
all
right.
the shows and that kind of thing. So that's what I enjoy.
Fantastic.
Very good. Tom and Amber, thank you very much for talking with us. And I think we'll take it back to the studio.
Thank you both.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Villa Park studio.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Well, there you have it. I'd just like to say thanks to Tom and Amber and wish them the best of luck with Square Shooters. I'd also like to say thanks to our sponsor, Victory Point Games, where the game plays the thing. Stay tuned for more extras from Origins and, of course, our regularly scheduled podcast. So until then, thanks for listening.